Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes, and we begin at the very top by the brand new Mishnah. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Leo Katowitz, Levi Ben Shmuel Chaim. He's the father of Harry Katowitz, a regular listener to the shiur. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin at the very top Mishnah, Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Arba Sor Shecholios B'Shabbos, when the 14th day of Nisan comes out on Shabbos. In other words, Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos, that unusual situation which happens to come out this year in Tovshin Pei Aleph. Has a lot of very interesting dinim, and we'll just discuss one very small aspect of it here in this Mishnah. When Erev Pesach is Shabbos, you have a problem. What do you do with the bigger chametz? When do you go and destroy the chametz? You're not allowed to burn it, of course, on Shabbos, and there is an opinion we had brought down previously that the preferred way is to burn the chametz. So what do you do? So the Tanna Kamma says, Dear Meir, Mevarin es hakol milifnei haShabbos. You go and burn the chametz, you get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos, because you can't go and burn the chametz on Shabbos. The preferred way to get rid of the chametz is to burn it, and you get rid of all of your chametz before the Shabbos. Divrei Rav Meir. Now, Rashi points out, this is bein chulin, bein truma, this is any type of chametz that you may have, with the one exception, chutz michtei achilos l'Shabbos. You are allowed to save enough meals for Shabbos. You are going to have a requirement to have, ideally, three meals on Shabbos. How we do this, interesting, to have two meals in the morning before the zman that you're not allowed to have chametz, so people daven very early that morning. They have their first meal of the day, the second meal of Shabbos. They have the regular Friday night meal. Now, people may eat most of their meal Pesach dik, but they'll have two rolls that are chametz because you can't have matzah then, and there are problems with keeping a lot of chametz around, so they'll just have, let's say, two rolls on a separate paper tablecloth or something that allows them to sweep up all the crumbs from the two rolls, and then the rest they have Pesach dik. They have that for Friday night, then they'll have two rolls again Shabbos morning. They daven early, let's say something like Vasikin or Hashkama. Then they have their second meal of Shabbos, the first meal of the day, and they take a spatzir. After they finish that, they bench, they walk around the block, they learn, and then before the Zman, they'll have their Shalosh Shudas. That's one way to go and do this if you are of the opinion that you can't have Matzah Ashira, which is matzah that you're not allowed to be yotzei at the Seder, as we talked about previously, but according to Sfardim, at least, that's not a problem. But according to Ashkenazim, well, that's a problem. So then they try to have the two sudas of Shabbos during the day in the early morning. There are those that say, if you can't have it with Lecha Mishnah, so then you can have it with a mezonos. So for those that have gebrux, so they could have a mezonos in the afternoon. For those that don't eat gebrux, there is no mezonos to have on Pesach that you can have on Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos. So then they'll have fruits or something like that. There's a famous shita that you could be yotzi even with learning in that situation, Shalosh Shudas. That's a quick run through some of the lachos of Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos. So you are allowed, Rashi says, to leave food, chutz michtei achiloso l'Shabbos, enough chametz that you're going to have for that Shabbos. However, he says, avokomash osu levar yivar, but if you're going to burn stuff, you should burn it Erev Shabbos before Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos starts. That is the opinion of Divrei Rav Meir. The Chum disagree. The Chum Momrim, no. Bismano, you get rid of the Chametz. Bismano, the end of the fifth hour on Pesach, that's when you're no longer allowed to have Chametz in your possession. So you burn the Chametz in the fifth hour normally. But here, since it's Shabbos, you can't burn it. So you flush it down the toilet. You throw it into the street. You throw it into the wind. You get rid of it in some other way other than burning it. That's the opinion of the Chacham. You do it Bismano on Erev Pesach, Sholios B'Shabbos, but obviously you can't burn it. Rabbi Elazar Ritzaluk Omer, Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzaluk says, Bar Tzaduk says, Truma milifnei Shabbos. He says, the Truma, which you're not going to be able to use on Shabbos, as Rashi points out, you can't go and give it to a non-Kohen or to the animals of a non-Kohen, and ulhashosa, and to keep it around, the Evsha, because who's going to eat it? So, avo chulin ain't tzorich levar, but the chulin you don't have to get rid of because you can always give it to your animal, you can always give it to a friend. So therefore, the leftover chametz that's around in the fifth hour, you can destroy it on Erev Pesach Sholios B'Shabbos Bismano. Shocholim solhan ochlin harbi, because there are plenty of people that can possibly eat it, therefore you can keep it around. And that's the opinion of Elazar Bar Tzaduk. The truma of Nei HaShabbos v'chulim Bismano. Now the Gemara, very short Gemara, tells us Tanya, we learn a Braisa, the Elazar Bar Tzaduk Omer, Pamachash Shavas Abba B'Yavna. One time, my father, Rav Tzadok, he stayed over. Shavas means to stay over. Nishtaha Shom Shabbos Echos, Rashi says. He stayed there one Shabbos at the house of Rabban Gamliel. V'chol Arba Sholios B'Shabbos. That year was Erev Pesach Sholios B'Shabbos. Yud Dalet was Shabbos. Nidal Nisim with Shabbos. Uba Zonin. Zonin is the name of a person, one of the Misharsim of Rabbi Gamliel. He was Mamuna Shal Rabbi Gamliel, one of the officers of Rabbi Gamliel. And he said, announced to everybody, Higia Eis Levaris Chomets. It was Shabbos when he says, now is the time to go get rid of all the Chomets. Halachti Acharaba. And Rabbi Eliezer, Bert Sadok, he went after his father and he said, Ubiarnu Esa Chomets. We destroyed the chametz in a permissible way to destroy the chametz on Shabbos. That's what we did. Again, we'll flush it down the toilet. We'll disperse it in the wind if they're just crumbs. And that is the way that you do Erev Pesach Holi Yosef Shabbos to get rid of your chametz. Next Mishnah. Haholech lishchot es pischo. The person is doing the important mitzvah, going to go be shochet his korban Pesach. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochet to do that this year on the afternoon of Yud Dalet. So he's going to be doing this tremendously important mitzvah of going to be shochet his korban Pesach. So he's leaving in the morning to go to do this. But lomo, as we know, or he's going off to the mail to go and have his son have a bris milah. Or v'lechol sudas erisim beis chamav. Or he's having this sudas mitzvah, known as the sudas erisim, at the house of his father-in-law. The way our customs are nowadays, we do the erisin and the nisum together at what we call a wedding. So it's the first stage of marriage, the erisin. That's the first two brachos that we say at the chuppah. Then we have somewhat of a pause, either the reading of the ksuba, sometimes the rav will make a speech, etc. And then you have the second stage, which is the chuppah, which is the nisuin. And we do them both together. In the times of the Gemara, they used to have a period of time up to a year in between the erisin and the nisuin. So they used to make a separate suda for the erisin. So this is a mitzvah, sudas mitzvah. So if somebody's going to this sudas mitzvah, the erisin, in the house of his father-in-law, so in these situations, he's going to either be going to be shaykhed his korban Pesach, or he's going to be mal his son, or he's going to the sudas erisin in his father-in-law's house, and he's on the way, and he realizes in his kar sheyesh lo chametz b'sof peso, whoa, he says, I forgot to burn the chametz, I forgot to get rid of the chametz in my house. Now it's yudal in the morning when you're still allowed to own chametz. So what should he do? If he goes back, will he be able to do this mitzvah? So if Yochol Lachzor, if he has enough time to go back to his house, Ulevar, and to physically destroy the chametz, and still the Lachzor the mitzvah, so and still have time to do the mitzvah of the Shechitas Korban Pesach, the Midlah on his son that day, and the Sudas Erisin, so then, if he'll have time to do both, so Yachzor Vivar, then he should first go back and destroy all the chametz, because it's still within the Zman, but you're allowed to destroy the chametz, you still can own it, but you have to destroy it during this period of time, and then continue to do the mitzvah that he was about to do. However, but if there is not enough time to do both, in this situation, we allow him to just do bittel, mevatlo belibo, because technically the din is that bittel be almosagi, as we learned already in the first parak, that it is adequate midaraisa to just get rid of all the chametz by saying, I hereby declare all the chametz ki'afra ki'ara, this should be like the dust of the earth, and therefore you could be mevatlet. The rabbis, for the various reasons that we discussed in the very first blot, tell us that you have to do the additional beer chametz as well. You look for the chametz and then you destroy it, because shema yibtzah glusku yofer. For example, one of the reasons was you may come to find a nice piece of chametz in the middle of Pesach, and before you know it, you eat it, or you take it back into your possession, and you're over by your rabbi Yimatzeh. So therefore, if there's no time to do both, then it is fine to just do bittul, bittul be almosaki. That's the first scenario where you're dealing over here with doing a mitzvah. The second scenario in the Mishnah is lahatzel min hanochrim, if you're going to save somebody from a band of marauding nochrim, for example, or min hanohar, from a river that's about to overflow and flood a town. Umin halistim, that's the gersa that we have on the side. It says not to be goris umin halistim. That doesn't mean to save them from armed robbers. It would be similar to lahatzel min hanochrim. Umin hadleiko, or rachmanas lan, there's a fire. In all these situations, pikuach nefashos. Umin hamapolos, so if a building has collapsed, then you have to go see if there's survivors underneath there. In this situation, when you realize you still have chametz, but you're preoccupied, hatzolah guy gets a call, right when he's about to burn his chametz, so then here, while he's running to the hatzolah call, while you're running to do all of these wonderful pikuach nefashos activities, Yevatel Belibo, then it's certainly enough to be Mevatel in your heart. And here Rashi says, Yevatel Belibo, even if you had the time, Afilu Ye shows, even if you say, well, I calculate that I'll still have time to do both, the enemy isn't coming, or the robbers aren't coming, or the water's not overflowing yet, I have time to do the Bir Chometz, and then still get there in time. We don't play games. In this situation, Lo Yach, so you don't have to go back. And Bebitul Bial Masagi, because that is a Din D'oraisa, so we don't play any games with Pikuach Nefashos. Then the third scenarios in the Mishnah is, what about if you're doing it totally l'dvar reshus? You're traveling not for a mitzvah, like in the first part of the Mishnah, not for bikuach nefashos in the second part of the Mishnah. He is traveling lishvos shvisas reshus. A person is going to set up his mokum shvisa. Remember, Gemara in Erevin, we learned about a person can make an Erev Tuchumim. He wants to change his focal point for Shabbos, so he has 2,000 amos from that point and not the point where he is right now, or from where his home is. So if he's going on Erev Pesach to go and set up a new Mokum Shvisa, and he realizes he's going there, that he didn't get rid of all the chametz in his house, and this is a shvisas rishus. He's going there just for personal reasons. He would like to have his shvisa there so he can go visit his friends or whatever the situation may be. In this situation, yachzor miyad, he must go back right away since he's not doing a mitzvah by setting up the shvisas rishus. So therefore, he must go back right away. As Rashi says, shaholich lahachshich, he's going to get to the point where he wants his focal point to be. Liknos shvisa shom kidei she'elo misham ulhalon apayim ama. So he wants to set up a new focal point in this situation, since he's not doing l'dvar mitzvah, yachzur miyad, he has to go back right away. However, if it was liknos shvisas mitzvah, if he was going there so he'd be able to get to a shir on Pesach or some other mitzvah reason, he's going to an ebach, a house of an oval, or l'beis mishto, he's going to get there to go and be able to go join in a wedding. So then, that's the identical thing where Rashi says, be like going to Shech the Korban Pesach, like the first scenarios, and that would be allowed. Tosos has a very strong question. Top Tosos says that Rashi says, Shoyholech lahachshich alatchum likno shvisa shom. So yes, how are you allowed to do this? We learned in the Gemara in Eregon on Daf Lamed Aleph, Ein Ma'ariv al-Dvar Mitzvah. So how can you do this? So therefore, Tosus doesn't like Rashi Pshat, although we'll give a beautiful answer for the mitzvah Eisen to Rashi in a second. So Tosus says, therefore, according to the Ri, the Hochi Birusha, that you have to say, when it says, Lishbos Shvisas Rishus, it means, Shaholech Lismoch B'Pesach B'Beis Ovo Krovo, that it's not a total Rishus. He's going to do this so he can join in the Korban Pesach with his friend. His friend lives 3,000 amas from his place. So if he doesn't make the Erev Tuchumim, he won't be able to join him for the Yontif for Pesach and then still get back to his house. So therefore, he makes an Erev Tuchumim. This is called the Dvar HaRishos, albeit it's a permissible reason to go and make a Mokum Shvisa by placing food over there. The Mitzvah Eisen says, who says that Rashi's talking about physically going and putting bread over there, so that's your Mokum Shvisa by Hanochas of the Shtei Sudos. He says, no, the person, according to the Mitzvah Eisen, Rashi is saying, and if you look in the words of Rashi, Shoyolech lahachshich alatchum, liknos vishusam. So Rashi says, the guy is taking a walk, Erev Pesach, to get to the place where he wants his Mokum Shvisa to be. Not that he's putting down the Shtei Lechem over there, putting down two meals over there. No, he's walking there and he's setting up his focal point. So that's a total Rishus. He's allowed to go walk wherever he wants. So he's telling us, if you forgot to burn your chametz in this situation, don't set up that focal point, L'dvar HaRishus, run back immediately to where the chametz is and burn the chametz. If you have time then afterwards to get to where you want to be, gizuntate. But if not, more important to actually go burn the chametz. Finally, the mission concludes and says that these halachas that we just said, whether you have to go back or you don't have to go back, the same halachas apply if a person left Yerushalayim with Kotche Kalim and he realizes afterwards he has the Kotche Kalim. So they're supposed to be burnt within Yerushalayim. So V'chein, Mishiyotzim Yerushalayim, person left Yerushalayim, V'nizkar Sheyesh B'yodo Basur Kodesh, he realizes he has some Basur Shlomim, he has Hekdesh with him, and the din is only allowed to eat in Yerushalayim, and it must be burnt. If you're not eating it in the time span that it's allowed to be eaten in, let's say for Korban Shlomim, the day that it's shechted, the night afterwards, and the following day. So if you didn't go and eat this, it has to be burned. You can't burn it wherever you are. You should burn it ideally in a special place designated for that, which we'll learn in a moment. So again, the person left Yerushalayim and he realized he has Basar Kotche Kalim with him. So im avar tzovim, if he passed the place called Tzofim. Rashi understands this is a physical place, a city called Tzofim. Now, Tosus doesn't like this because Tosus says that it should have said Tzofim in this direction or the equivalent amount in any other direction. So therefore, Tosus in the second Tosus says it's kosher to understand Rashi this way, that it's the name of an actual place, because then it should have said Tzofim and that same distance, Umidasa L'chol Ruach, and that similar distance in the other directions. Tzofim, let's say, was north, so then it's 15 mil away, so then you have to have 15 mil to the north, to the south, to east, and to the west. That's what he should have said. So therefore, Tosafot says from the Ri that the Tosefta tells us that Tzofim was just a place that you could see, literally the lookout, right? Tzofim, where you can see. Tzofet means to look out. So therefore, it means the place that can still see Yerushalayim. And this machlokis that we have over here between Rashi and Tosfos, we find lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, when a person approaches Yerushalayim today and he has to rip kriya. So at what point is it called that you can see Yerushalayim? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down min hatzofim. So you have the same machlokis, Rashi, Tosfos, lehalacha lemaisa. Does it mean at a certain place, or does it mean when you can see Yerushalayim? In any event, the Mishnah tells us, if you have this kachim and you're beyond the point of tzofim, whether that's the city or that's a certain distance, so then, sarfu bimkomo, you don't have to turn back and go all the way back to Yerushalayim, but you can burn it right where it is. The imlav, however, if you haven't yet reached to the point of tzofim, you're still within a closer distance to Yerushalayim, chozer, you have to go back to Yerushalayim, v'sarfu, and you burn it in Yerushalayim. Where do you burn this? Lifnei ha-bira me'atzei ha-marocha. If you want to burn it in this place called the bira, Rashi explains, as you can see in the Tosos, Dibra Maskel V'Sarfo, Pirusha Kuntris, Kidama Per Kosha, that we learned previously, Bakodesh Bo'esh Yisarev, it says you should burn it in the place where you eat it. B'mokom Achiloso, Srefoso. But the Reed doesn't like this. He says, if Midaraisa, that you're required to do this, so Mali Avart Sofim, Umali Lo Avart Sofim. It says, if you're Mechoyev to burn it to Midaraisa, so then you should have to go back, whether you traveled beyond Sofim or not. So therefore, the Ri says, the Minat Torah Yochol Lesarfa B'chol Makum Sheyirta. Technically, Minadin, you can burn it wherever you are. It's only the Kotche Kodashim, or the Emurim of the Kotche Kalim, which have the status of Kotche Kotchim, that have to be burnt specifically in that place. He says, Avoshar Kotchim Shenachol Mazarim. All the other Kotchim Kalim that can be eaten by a non-Kohen, they're not included in this Pasuk by Kodesh Meishi Soref. And therefore, you could burn them wherever you want. But if you want to burn them with the wood that's not yours, but the wood that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, then you have to go burn it in this place called the Bira. Where is this Bira? So the next Tosus tells us that this is Machlokes, that Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mokum Yesh Baharabais, is a certain place in the Harabais, Ubirishmo. And Reish Lakish disagrees and says, Kol Habayis Kulo, Heavy Bira. The entire area of the Harabais is the Bira. Shenemar, El HaBira Sherachinosi. So wherever this Bira was, this Machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if a person wishes to go and use the wood, me'atzei ma'arocha, from the wood of the Beis HaMikdash, he must go and burn it over there in the Bira. Otherwise, he just should go back and burn it someplace in Yerushalayim. That's the conclusion of the Mishnah that says, likewise, just like with the Chametz, you have to go back, so too, if you're within the area of Tzofim, you have to go back and burn it in Yerushalayim, either in general Yerushalayim or in a specific place in Yerushalayim if you want to use the atzei ha'marocha, the wood that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara says, how much do you have, either of chametz or of the kachim, in order to be required to go back? If you have some crumbs in your pocket, do you have to go back? How much of either the chametz, respectively, or the kachay kalim do you have to have in your possession in order to be obligated to return if you're within the distance that you have to return? So we have a three-way machlokas. Rav Meir says, Zev ze kebeitza, both the chametz and the kachay kalim, if you have a kebeitza's worth, that's considered an amount that's significant enough for you to go back. And Rashi says, if you have less than that, abo b'pachos, gabi chomis yivata b'libo, it's enough to just do the bitul b'almosaki, and gabi the bosa kachim, by the kachi kalim, sofim b'mkom, just burn it right where you are, even though you're within the tzofim distance. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Yehuda Omer, no. He says, the minimal amount is a kezayis. The Gemara will explain what their argument is based upon, a kibetza versus a kizayis. And you have a compromise sheet of the chacham. Chachamim, it depends. For the kachim, basar kodesh, that you need to have even just the kizayis to have to go back. Basar kodesh b'chazayis. However, for the chametz, even if you have a larger amount, up to a kibetza, you don't have to go back. Only if you have a kibetza, you have to go back and actually destroy it, as opposed to bitul bi'alma saki. Where it starts off and says, Reminu, we have a stira from our Mishnah to the following brisa. Aholet lechol sudas erisin beveis chomot. Our Mishnah told us that a sudas erisin was a sudas mitzvah. That was in the first category of the Mishnah. It's just like going to Shechti Korban Pesach, the B'mah Yisun, it was to go to the sudas erisin. So the brisa seems to disagree with that and says that a sudas erisin is not a sudas mitzvah. It says, Aholet lechol sudas erisin beveis chomot, v'lishbo shvisas rishus, and it lumps it together as the same thing as doing a setting up an area of tchumim for a rishus type of a purpose. In both of these situations, it's not considered a mitzvah, and yachzor miyad, and you have to go back to burn the chametz. So our Mishnah said, Asuras Erisin, you don't have to go back and burn the chametz unless you have time to do both. And here in the Brisa says, you must go back, that the Asuras Erisin is not significant enough of the mitzvah. So there's a stira between our Mishnah and this Brisa. So Rav Yochanan says a simple answer, lo kasha, two different opinions. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that the Sudas Harrison is not a Sudas Mitzvah. And Ha Rav Yossi, and Ha Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Yossi, said the Sudas Harrison is a Sudas Mitzvah. The Tanya, as the Braisa tells us, another Braisa, Sudas Harrison Rishus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sudas Eris is a very nice thing to do, but it's a Rishus, it's not a Mitzvah. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi merits a Mitzvah. Ah, so therefore, very simple. Our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and the first Braisa that we brought down, or Minu, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that. Bahashto the Omer Rav Chisda. Now the Rav Chisda has taught us that no, that there are actually two different types of Sudas Erisin. Machlokes b'Sudas Shniyah. There's the first Sudas Erisin that everybody agrees is a real Sudas Mitzvah, even Rabbi Yehuda. And it's only on the second Sudas Erisin that there's this Machlokes between Rav Yossi and Yehuda. Machlokes b'Sudas Shniyah. Abo b'Sudas Rishona, the first Sudas Erisin, Divri Akol Mitzvah, even Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a mitzvah, so then, afilu tema, then you don't have to say that these two brises are two different opinions. You could say that Rabbi Yehuda authored both of them even. Havaha Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah and the brisa could both be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Velo kasha, why is that? Ha besuda rishona, our Mishnah, which talks about it being a sudas mitzvah, that's talking about the first sudas erisin. And then, when they had the second sudas erisin, ha besuda shnia, that's the brisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that's not considered a sudas mitzvah. And I'll show you that this is right. Tanya says Beferish in this third Braisa. Bottom Tosus in the Daf asks the question, Tema, am I lo maisi Tanya Namihachi? Why don't we use the Lashon over here, Tanya Namihachi, rather than just saying Tanya? No, Akasha. In any event, it says just Tanya, and this third Braisa tells us, Amar Yehuda, Ani lo shamati el Sudas Erisin. I only heard that the first Sudas Erisin is a real mitzvah, but the second Sudas Erisin, which is called a nice gathering of a low suvlonos, where they just gave presents to each other, and they call that the second Sudas Erisin, that I didn't hear is a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Braisa says, Beferish, Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction between the first Sudas Erisin, which is a real Sudas Mitzvah, and the second one, which is a very nice thing, but not necessarily Sudas Mitzvah. And on that, the Braisa continues, Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi told Rabbi Yehuda, no, Ani Shamati, I personally also heard that the second Sudas Mitzvah is also a Sudas Mitzvah, that the Sudas Erisin and the Sudas Sivlonos, where you give the presents, they're both considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Mark continues to quote another Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Sudas Sheino Shel Mitzvah, and here we're going to go digress into a long, I got it, the type of Gemara. And this Braisa tells us, the Rabbi Shimon tells us that if you're eating or partaking in a Suda that's not a Sudas Mitzvah, it's inappropriate, ain't Tam L'Chochem Rashai Lehonos Vimena. Tam L'Chochem should only eat from a Sudas Mitzvah. He shouldn't get together these frivolous types of large gatherings that are just purely for fun and lightheadedness. Give me an example, the Gemara says, of what would be considered a inappropriate Suda that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't participate in. So Rav Yochanan says, for example, Kigon, if you were to have a marriage between a Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, to a regular Yisrael, not to a Kohen. Kohanim ideally should marry the daughters of Kohanim, and therefore it's a degradation, if you wish, of the holiness of the Kohuna to have a Yisrael married to a Bas Kohen. We don't pass like this halacha l'maisa, but it is an ideal that maintain the purity of the Kohanic lineage that a Kohen should marry a Bas Kohen. And therefore, if this doesn't occur, the Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, so the Talmud Chacham shouldn't go to that Suda. Likewise, Ubas Talmud Chacham, if it's a daughter of Talmud Chacham, she should marry Talmud Chacham. If she marries Nebuch and Amma Aretz, so then that's also a degradation of the Talmud Chacham status, and therefore a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go to such a Suda. That's what Rishima says. And it's based upon the Amar of Yochanan. Yochanan tells us, Bas Kohen Yisrael, ideally a Bas Kohen who marries Yisrael, Ein Zivugon Ole Yofe. The Shidduch is not a good Shidduch. Rav Yochanan tells us that it's much better for a Bas Kohen to marry a Kohen. If she marries a Yisrael, it's not as good. Why? Mayhi? Why not? What will happen? Amar Rav Chisda. What will happen? Rachmon al-Lasan is all amona that he'll die young, or Grusha, or he'll divorce her. Oh, Zara ain't law, or they won't have children. Says somehow, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world. Ideally, Bas Kohen should marry a Kohen and not a Yisrael. In Mas Nisan Tana, we learn in another Braisa, Kovra, either he will bury her, or O Kovarto, or she will bury him. In other words, one of them will die young. O Miviyosoli De'anius, or Nebuch, they'll be impoverished. Where it says, really? Ini? We have elsewhere, it says that if you marry a Bas Kohen, that you'll actually become rich. V'amar Rav Yochanan, Harotsa Shiyisashi, if somebody wants to get rich, what should he do? Try to attach themselves, Yidbak Bizarro Shalaro. Try to attach yourself to the Zaro Shalaro, because they do the Ketores. The Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash was a special skula for Ashirus, and therefore you should try to attach yourself to the Zara Shel Aaron because of this mitzvah that they have of doing the Ketores. So therefore, you should do this. And certainly, therefore, Kol Shekein Shel Torah Ukuhuna Mar Shartan. If a person is a Talmud Chacham and he marries into the family of Aaron HaKohen, so Talmud Chacham marries a Bas Kohen, so that certainly sounds like it should be a great Shidduch. Certainly, it will lead to wealth. So where it says, nope, there's no steer over here, lokasha. It depends. The first bride that it says you become impoverished, that's when a Amo Aretz marries a Bas Kohen. It will negate the benefits of the kahuna. And as opposed to a Talmud Chacham who marries a Bas Kohen, that will double up, so to say, on the skula of the kahuna as well as the skula of the Talmud Chacham status. Again, these are agadic ideas. They're not halacha l'maisa. And the Gemara expands upon this further. Maisa Shalaya, about various people marrying, who aren't Kohen and marrying a Bas Kohen. Rabbi Yeshua, the great Rabbi Yeshua, Nosiv Kahanta, he married a Bas Kohen, and Cholash, he became sick, and he blamed it. Omar, he says, Lo Nichel Eli Aaron, it's not, so to say, good. Aaron HaKohen's lineage, the Aaron HaKohen didn't want me to marry into his lineage, the Idbak Mizari, that I should marry into his lineage. I'm obviously not a Choshev enough of a person. The Havali Chasna Kenra, he didn't want to have a son-in-law like me, and that's why I got sick. On the other hand, Rabbi Idi Bar Ovin, Nosef Kanta, Rabbi Idi Bar Ovin, who wasn't a Kohen, he married a Bas Kohen. And he had illustrious children. He had great children. He had great children. Rav Sheshes, that's the Girsa that we have, Berei the Rav Idi. Others, the Rashash, for example, brings down, should be Rav Shisha, Berei the Rav Idi, who we know throughout Shas, and Rabbi Yeshua, Berei the Rav Idi. So he had two great Tamidei Chacham sons. So it was good for him that he married a Bas Kohen. On Rapapa added also, Ilo Nisivno Kahanta, if I hadn't married a Bas Kohen, Lo Atri, I wouldn't have become as rich as I have become. On Rav Kahana, now interesting, Tosu points out on the Omid Beis that Rav Kahana is not a Kohen. He was known as Rav Kahana for the reason that his wife was a Kohen, and Tosu brings down situations where he actually collected certain Matnos Kahuna in the schus of his wife. In any event, Omer of Kahana, I'm not a Kohen. Ilo Nisiv Nukahante, if it wasn't for the fact that I married a Bas Kohen, Lo Goloi, I wouldn't have been thrown into Golos. There's a famous story in the Gemara in Bava Kama. It says that there was a person that was being meiser the wheat of another yid to the government, to the king. He had some straw that was hidden away someplace, and the king was looking to go and take from just some Jew something, and another person wanted to be meiser. Hey, this guy has stuff, so go take from him. It wasn't that the king specifically was owed this straw. So therefore, the other person was a meiser. He's going to go and get rid of this person's possessions. So therefore, Rav Kahana killed him. As a meiser, technically, you'll have to kill a meiser. Rav Kahana had to run away from the government, so Rav sent him to Eretz Yisrael. Famous story how he had a huge interaction with Rav Yochanan. Very interesting story. Ayin in the Gemara in Bava Kama. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Umad Aleph, the last daf in Bava Kama. In any event, from our point of view, he had to be Gola into Bava. And he said, the reason I was going into Babel was because I married a Bas Kohen, and that was my punishment. But Amalei, they said, but it was a big schus for you. You went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Mokum Torah Galisa. So how can you say this is a bad thing? So he said, Lo Goloi Kidigoli Inshe, because I went under very extenuating circumstances. I went under very difficult circumstances. I was running away from the government. If they had caught me, I would have been in a lot of trouble. So therefore, I had to run away in hiding. I was a fugitive. As opposed to if I'd gone there with great kavod and gone there to learn, that would have been the proper way for me to go. Gemara tells us further, Amar Rav Yitzchak, call an enemy sudas harishus. If a person eats from a regular plain meal, that's a sudas harishus, not a sudas mitzvah, so lusov gola, it's going to also lead for the person to go into golos. Again, I want to stress that none of these are actual halacha l'maisa din and brought down in Shulchan Aruch, but there's certain ideas over here that the Gemara is trying to get to us. So if a person is nene from a sudas harishus, so he'll eventually go into golos, based upon the pasuk that tells us, shenemar, and Amos, it tells us that the Jewish people, v'ochlim korim, they'll eat these fattened sheep, v'ochlim korim mitzon, v'agolim mitoch marbek. They'll eat all of these delicious delicacies, all these sheep and cows, they'll eat them in their stalls. Now, it says right after that, uksiv, and it implies that because of that, lochein ato yiglu berosh golim, therefore you go into golos. So we see this idea that Rabbi Yitzchak said from the Pasuk in Amos that if you eat at all of these meals that aren't sudas reshus, if in other words, if a person is just spending all of his time going from pleasure to pleasure and meals and not doing it for a sudas mitzvah, so then it's going to lead to trouble. Tana Rabbanan, another bright on the subject, called Tamil Chacham Amar Besudasu Chamakum. A Tamil Chacham who just spends his time eating, so Sof Machrev his Beis, so he'll end up destroying his house. Uma Alman is Ishto Nebuch, his wife's going to be a widow, he'll die young. Uma Yasim is Gozlov, and his children will end up being orphans, unfortunately. Furthermore, the Talmudo Mishtachak Menu, because he's immersed in pleasure, he's not going to have enough time to go and learn and chazir all of his stuff. He's constantly trying to get money to make pleasures. And therefore, he's going to forget his learning. And umachlokos rabos bo's love. And it's going to lead to machlokos because he's still going to think he's a big Talmud Chacham, and he's going to paskin, he's going to paskin wrong, and people are going to argue with him, and it's going to lead to lots of trouble. Or because of his desire for money, he's going to get into all sorts of litigation. Udvar vein in the shvam, and nobody's going to listen to him anymore. Mechal shem shemayim is going to be a big chilul Hashem because people are going to say that's a Talmud Chacham. And B'shem Rabbo, his Rebbe is going to be disrespected as well. Say, whoa, he learned by so-and-so. Look at what he turned out. B'shem Aviv, and his father's great name will also be destroyed. Look at what the child that person had. And not only going back in time, but going forward in time, B'gorim Shem Ra'lo, he'll have a bad name himself, but also for his children, Ulevanov, his grandchildren. Asav Kol HaDoros. Everyone goes, you come from such and such a person. He used to be a Talmud Chacham, and he went bad. Moshe says, how does he destroy his children? Mahi. So we have several different Amoraim to say certain bad things about his children that they'll be called in certain names. So Amar Abaye says, Karolei, they call his children Bar Machim Tanure, the one who heats up the oven. In other words, there's always food cooking in that house because that's all that they care about. That's what Abaye says. Rav Amar, they're going to call the child Bar, the son of Mirakeid Beikuve, the one who's dancing amongst all the partiers. As Rashi says, Kederach Leitzanim, like the people that are making Leitzanus, Shemesachakin Raktin Mechanios, Lashkosim Miskarin. They'll be like clowns, they'll be like people that are doing all sorts of silly things in order to go get a couple of bucks so they can go and buy their drink. So it's called Merake Bekuve, the one who's dancing amongst all the people in the bar. Papa says, Omar, Bar, they're going to call this children the son of Melache Pinche. Rashi says, Kairos, the people that lick the plates. In other words, he can't stop from eating. He has to even lick the plates. And Rishmaya, they're going to call him Bar, the son of Moch Rava. Rashi explains Moch Rava is a person who's makapel vusho. He folds up his garment, Verovis, and he just crouches down, Vyashin, right where he is. Kach derech hamishtakrin. The people that are drunk, they don't have time to go home. They just fall down where they are, and they roll up their jacket, and they put it under their head, and they sleep right where they are in the streets in the garden. So that's what we call the son of Moch Rav, a person who does this. The Sloshon of Moch is a person who is makapel, he bends over. Rava is a person who crouches, and that's where the name comes from. Nadigmor says, on the other hand, Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says, La'olam yimkor adam kol mashiyesh, a person should sell all of his property in order to have a dowry for Yisrael bas Talmud Chacham, so that he can go marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Oh, that would be very special. She'im meiso golur, one of the sign, if this person dies young, or he never has to go into galus, so he won't be able to raise his children properly, nevertheless, move to Chlosh Abadam, Tamidi Chachamim, because his wife is the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, she understands the chashivas of Torah, and will do everything possible to make sure that the children are also Tamidi Chachamim. So even if he's not around, his wife will make sure that the children are raised properly. As opposed to Vayiso Basam Oritz, but don't marry an Amoritz's daughter because the children will only know Amoratzus. And therefore, Rachmon al-San, Shimezo Gola, if he himself is not there to raise his children, he either dies or he has to go into Golus, Bonov Amoritz, the wife will raise the children. The only way that she knows is to make him into Amoratzus. Likewise, another Bryce, a Tana Rabbanon, Loli Mimkor Odom Komashiesh, a person should go and sell all of his property in order that he saw Bas Talmud Chacham, for he himself to go and marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And the Yasibi told the Talmud Chacham. And if he's already married, Baruch Hashem, so when he's marrying off his daughter, he should make sure that he has enough of a dowry to give her that she should go and be able to marry a Talmud Chacham. And the reason behind this is, Moshal le'inve gefen, be'inve gefen. If you want to make grapes, so you go and graft the two vines together, you plant a good vine with another good vine, you're going to have great grapes. And in this situation, we have the famous expression, in the agafen, dover nor miskabel. That's going to lead to something really wonderful, and you're going to be very happy about it. As opposed to, well, you saw Bas Amaretz, but don't go marry the daughter of an Amaretz, because that's a bad mixture, and you're going to have a very bad product. Marshall, this can be analogized to when you mix the in the agafen in the asneh, you're mixing the grapes of a vine with a sneh, which is a thorn bush. And therefore, you're going to get a lousy product, dover, kor, you're going to end up having something that's not very nice, return to the Amud Beis, velo miskabel, and it's eino miskabel, it's not going to be acceptable. Rashi explains, eino miskabel, l'shomim, people aren't going to be happy about this. Next, price, the Tana Rabbanon, liolimim karadum komashi eishlo, a person should sell all his property in order that, v'yiso bas tabuchach, but like we said before, that he should be able to marry a daughter of a tabuchachim. What happens if he can't find a daughter of a Talmud Chacham? Lamotza bas Talmud Chacham, he can't find a daughter of Talmud Chacham to marry. So at least Yisra bas Gedolei Hador. So marry the daughter of the Gedolei Hador. Rashi says, Anshei Maisev Tzadikim. Okay, they may not be huge Talmidei Chachamim, but they're righteous individuals, and they do lots of chesed. They do all sorts of great acts. So that's Gedolei Hador. So at least marry yourself off to the daughter of such people. You can't find that. Lomotzu bas gedolei ador. You can't find a daughter of a gedolei ador to go marry. So at least Yisa bas roshei knesios. At least go and marry the daughter of the people that are the head of the shul. So that's a person who's in charge of the tzibur. That's a good person to marry his daughter. You can't find that. Lomotzu bas roshei knesios. At least Yisa bas gabei tztaka. Go and marry the daughter of the gabei tztaka. The gabei tztaka actually says, we only appoint such people, Ela Imkein Tovim V'Nemonim. They're only good people that are appointed to this job because you're dealing with a lot of money of other people. You want to have trustworthy people there, good people, and therefore they should be, the daughter will be the daughter of Tovim V'Nemonim, so that's a good person to marry. No, you can't find that either. So at least go marry Yisra Bas Melamdei Tinokos. Go marry the daughter of a person who teaches the children in the yeshiva. That's the next level. But under no circumstances, lo yisa bas ame aretz. Don't go marry the daughter of an ame aretz. Why? Mibnei shehein sheketz, because the ame aretz himself is a sheketz, a creepy, crawly creature, and nishoseim sheretz, and their wives are also shrotzim, that's like insects. Rashi says, she'enon zihiros b'mitzvos, they're not careful about doing the mitzvos, so they're on a slightly better level than the sheketz, but it's still a low level, and their children, v'abinosem, their daughter is also not good. Huomer, oru shochevim ko behema. The daughter is like a behema. In other words, these are people of a low character, and don't marry into those families. Rashi says, she'en lohem lev lohavim, they're not going to be able to understand the proper lifestyle that a person should have, and therefore don't get involved with them. Furthermore, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Yomer, the great Rebbe Nasi says, Amo Aretz Asur Lecho Basar. And Amo Aretz is not allowed to eat Basar. We have in parentheses the Basar Behema. It says that we're not goris that. In other words, Amo Aretz isn't entitled from a philosophical ideal to go and eat Basar, not from a halachic point of view. Why is that? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, those Torahs have Behema Ba'ov. You have to have Torah in order to be able to eat Behema or an oaf. That's Mestumba White deletes the word Behema because it's also talking about even chicken, even fowl. So it says, Kol Osei B'Torah. If you're a Zos Torah, if you're involved in Torah, then Mutalecho Basar Behema Ba'ov. Then you can go eat meat or fowl. However, Kol She'en Osei B'Torah, homiletically, we dash in this passage and say, if you're not involved in eating, in learning Torah, so then you don't have the halachic right, so to say, to go and eat lecho basar behema, lecho basar behema va'of. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar said, Amar it's mutar l'nochro b'yom ha-kipurim sh'olios b'shabes, that an Amar it's so bad that, now, this is not to be taken literally. That's the way most of the Mefarshim understand this. It's talking really homiletically over here. Others explain that, no, there could be actual situations. The Am Aretz is doing something, such as being a Moser, so you'd be allowed to go and kill him. But let's assume it's talking homiletically here. It makes it a lot easier to understand these Gemaras, that they're deserving of it, but not that you should actually do this. Amar Belazar, if you have an Am Aretz in front of you, you technically would be allowed to go and stab him. Lenochoro means to stab him, as opposed to shecht him, to stab him, and this you can even do on Yom Kippur, Cholios B'Shabbos, on days that you're not allowed to go and do this to somebody. So the Tamidim said to Rabbi Elazar, why did you use this lashon of nocharo? It's not the cleanest lashon. Rabbi, emor l'shochto, why didn't the Rabbi say that you shecht him as opposed to nocharo, which is a non-kosher way of killing an animal? Why did you say the nicer terminology of shechita rather than nochro? So Rabbi Elazar tells him, emor lehen, zeh toan bracha, because by shechita you make a bracha on it. And here, this amaretz is such a low life, zeh eino toan bracha. I don't want to use even the lashon of shechita by him because it's not deserving of a bracha. Again, these are all homiletical drushos and not literally to be taken. We treat everybody with kindness, but what he's saying is an amaretz is wasting his life, so you shouldn't waste your time with him. Amar Belozer says another statement, Am Aretz also lislavos ima baderach. Don't go and travel with an Am Aretz. Why is that? Shenemar, ki yuchayecha v'orchimecha, because the Pasuk tells us that the Torah is the way to increase your life. It's your life, huchayecha, orachimecha, and a way to increase your life. Now, this Am Haaretz doesn't believe in that. So his own life, he's not concerned about achayav lo chos. He doesn't care about his own life to increase it. So when you're traveling with him and you get into a dangerous situation, he's going to run away. He's not going to help you. Achayechaveru lo koshke. He doesn't care about his own life. He's certainly not going to care about your life. So therefore, it's dangerous to travel alone, essentially. And that's what you'd be doing because he's going to run away. And therefore, don't travel with an Am Haaretz. If you meet up with an Am Haaretz, you technically can rip him apart like a fish. And Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, you don't even do it from the front, you do it from the back. Rashi explains, when you do it from the back, the su lo chai, it'll kill him immediately. In other words, you got to get away from them, don't stay with them at all. Tanya, we're learning the Braisa, Amar Yekiva. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old when he started learning Torah. First 40 years of his life, he was an Am Haaretz. So Rabbi Akiva reflects back and he says, Kishoyisi Am Haaretz. When I was an Am Haaretz, the first 40 years of my life, Amarti, I would tell people, Mi ten li Talmud Chacham, vanashchenu kachamor. If you'd only give me a Talmud Chacham, I'd bite him like a donkey. In other words, he had a hatred for the Talmidei Chachamim. The Farshim explained that Rabbi Akiva was a tzaddik, even in his first 40 years of life, he would never go and do anything bad. But he was very upset that the Talmidei Chachamim didn't treat the Amaratzim with any sort of respect. They treated him like dirt. And therefore, he said, that's improper. How can you treat me like dirt? I'm a human being. So therefore, he said, when I was in Am Haaretz, my approach was that the Chachamim were wrong. I didn't realize how bad we were as Amaratzim. And I said, how dare they treat us in this way? And therefore, I'd rather bite them like a donkey. So the Tamidim said to Rabbi Akiva, Amar Tamidim, Rabbi, why are you using this funny lashon of bite him like a donkey? Why don't you say, Amar Kekelev, I'd bite him like a dog? That's the more common expression. So Amalem, so he wanted to stress an additional point. He said, a chamor zeh noshech v'shover etzem. When a chamor bites, he has a much stronger bite than a dog, and he'll break through the bones even. That's how much I wanted to hate the Talmidei Chachamim when I was in Am Haaretz. I was so jealous of them. Zeh noshech v'shover etzem. But if I said bite like a dog, okay, the dog bites, it hurts, but it's not a bone-breaking type of a bite. Therefore, I wanted to illustrate to you how much the Amaratzim hate us because they're jealous of our Torah. Tanya, we'll learn another bright. So, Hai Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir said, Kol HaMeisi Bito Le'am Haaretz. If you go marry off your daughter to an Am Haaretz, it's Ki'ilu Kovsa Uminich Lef Le'ari. It's like you tied her up and left in front of a lion. Now, why is that? Mo Ari, just like a lion, Dores V'Ochel, Ve'en Leboshes Ponim. A lion captures his animal and doesn't even wait for the animal to die. He just starts eating it right away. We had this in the Gemara elsewhere, and Tosus brings us down. He doesn't even wait for the animal to die. He eats it right away. So too, the Am Haaretz, the way he treats his wife, he doesn't treat her properly. Af Am Haaretz, Maka, he beats his wife, and then Ubal, he has relations with her. Lav Dafka, that he literally beats her, although that's what it could mean as well, but it means he doesn't try to be nice to her. He just goes and takes her and has relations with her. Bela Boshes Pam, he's not embarrassed that he doesn't try to be Mephias, his wife, to try to entice his wife to want to have relations with him. That's what an Am Haaretz does. Tanya, we're learning a Braisa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yomolei, Anu Tzrichim Lohem Lamasu Maton Hayhorgin Osanu. Now, there's two ways to learn this. Yomolei with an Aleph, the way we have it, means that if it weren't for the fact that they needed us to teach them how to do maso maton, the Amaratzim would kill us. They would say that we're not necessary. But since we have educational skills, which they lack, they need us to teach them how to do certain business dealings and how to maybe do the books and how to do all sorts of other things to help them so they don't kill us because they need us for maso maton. Others explain that that's a little bit funny, the way that we write the word onu tzrichim lohem. It's really nitzrochim lohem, we're needed to them. So others say it should be ilmoli with a yud. That's the girsa that it says on the side. And that means that if it weren't for the fact that we don't need them, they would kill us. Because if we were in need of them, they would really lord it over us. And therefore, it's a good thing that we don't need them, otherwise they would kill us. Ruchi said in the following braisa, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lifnei Am Haaretz. If you learn Torah in front of an Am Haaretz, you're going to make him very jealous. Kilu boel arusasa b'fonav. It's as if you're having relations with your wife, who's only a first stage marriage, which you're not allowed to have relations with yet. She's not fully a nesua to you. And therefore, if you have relations with a woman who's only married to you through the first stage, that's a terrible thing. So to learning in front of an Am Haaretz is a terrible thing. Both are usur in the sense to Nemar, Torah tzivalon Moshe, Morosha ki les Yaakov. So the Morosha, al tikri Morosha, it's a play on the word Morosha, an inheritance, ela Morosha. So therefore, we're all Moros, we're all engaged to the Torah. So until you learn the Torah, it's only the first stage of marriage. It's only an erisin. You're engaged to it, but you have to spend time learning it. That makes you a nesua. So if you learn Torah in front of the Am Haaretz, you're basically saying, I'm a nesua, and you're not. And that's going to enrage you. Furthermore, the Braisa says, Gedolah Sinah. great is the hatred Shison and Amoritz, that the Amoritz hate the Jewish people that are Tamid Chacham and Tamid Chacham, even more so Yoser Misidno Shison and Umos Olam is Yisrael. The hatred that the Amoritzim have to us is even greater than the anti-Semitism that the rest of the world has toward the Jewish people. And by the way, Unishosein Yosemihen, and the wives hate us even more because the wives realize what they're lacking. They look at the great happiness and love that the Tamid Chacham's wife has with her husband Tamid Chacham. And they're happy and they're wonderful together, and she sees how her husband beats her and how her husband doesn't treat her properly, so it even makes her hate the Talmidei Chacham even more. Tana, we learn another braisa, Shana Uperash Yoser Mikulan. And the one who hates the Talmidei Chacham the most is the person who used to be a Talmid Chacham and never he went off the Derech. He knows more than anybody else how great it was to be a Talmid Chacham, and for whatever the reason that he left, he knows what he's missing. The Amoritz doesn't know what he's missing. The Amoritz's wife, she's very jealous because she sees what she's missing, but she doesn't really have a clue what they're really missing, like the Talmid Chacham who goes off the Derech. Another bride, Satan Rabbanon, Shishavar Nem will be Amoritz. 6 things were said about Amoratzim. Number one, Ein Moster Lem Edus. You shouldn't allow them to be Edim, because they're not going to know all the halachas, and they're going to make mistakes. So don't have them be the ones that sign on a shtar. They makabel min edus, and if they come and bring edus, you have to be very careful about taking and accepting such testimony, because again, they don't know all the dinim, and they may end up saying, "Yeah, that's what I thought I saw. Yeah, mistama, that's what happened, and it really didn't happen." So we don't make them into being edim, and we don't accept the edus if they come and bring it. They magalin lehem, so don't tell them secrets, because they're not going to be able to hold them, and they're going to tell them to other people. They remanu so napatropos ala yisom, and they're not usually trustworthy people, so we don't want them to be the guardians of these poor orphans and the estates of the orphans, because they're going to mistumma, not manage them well or steal from them. Likewise, the next one, don't put them in charge of the tzedakah funds. Mistumma, again, they're not erlich, honest people. They're going to make mistakes, so they're not careful, and you're going to end up having the charity funds not run correctly. And finally, as we said previously, this is the sixth one. This is Bryce says, don't accompany them on a journey, because you know what's going to happen. They're not caring about their own life, so they're not going to care about your life, and you're going to be left alone, and a person shouldn't travel alone. Then some had a seventh thing, that if they lost the property, normally when the person loses the property, we go into the public areas and we make announcements, such and such a property was lost, and so lost the property. If anybody found it, please return it to them. So we don't do this for the Amoratzim as well. This is based upon the idea that you only mechuyev to do hashavas aveda for somebody who's ochicha. The pasuk says hoshev tishivim liochicha. So somebody who acts like your brother, in other words, who acts like an erlich yid. So then you have to go and announce his properties. But somebody who doesn't act in that way, so then you're not mechuyev to announce his properties. The Tana Kama, why didn't the Tana Kama list this amongst the 6 things that he listed? This 7th thing about not announcing machrizin alavido. So the Tana Kama said because we do want to give back the Amoritz his property, because you know what? Zimnin, sometimes it's going to happen, the Norfolk Minei, that he's going to have a progeny, he's going to have a child or a grandchild, Zara Ma'ayu, that will be a big Talmid Chacham, be a kosher a yid. So therefore, we want to give him back his property, because the Ochale, who will benefit eventually from this Hashavas Aveda? A kosher a yid, the son or the grandson or the descendant that is a Talmid Chacham. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, this Pasuk is from Eov, Yochin Vitzadik Yobash. Prepare it, because maybe a tzaddik will someday wear it. In other words, this Hashavas Aveda may have benefit for a tzaddik later on. That concludes this Sagadata section, and now we go back and quote the Mishnah. V'chein mishiyotze v'chulei. If a person left Yerushalayim and he had kotshe kalim with him, so if he went to the point of Tzofim and beyond, he doesn't have to go back, but if he's within Tzofim, so then he has to go back. Now, the opinions that we brought down for what was considered a significant amount that you have to go back for, so Rav Meir said you only go back if you have a kibbutz's worth. And Rav Yehuda says, even if you only have a kizayis's worth, you have to go back. Now, that seems to imply, lemeimra, the Rav Meir savar kibbutz hu d'choshev, the Rav Meir's opinion is that only if you have a kibbutz is that considered a significant amount, whereas Rav Yehuda says even a smaller amount, a kizayis is either a half or a third of a kibbutz, different opinions. For Rav Yehuda Sovar, kizayis nami choshev, that even a kizayis is choshev. Now this seems to go against their opinion in terms of benching. Midaraisa, we only bench if you ate kidei sviya. But the famous Gemara in Brachas tells us that Klal Yisrael is such great people that we bench even if we have less than a kidei sviya, and Rav Meir's opinion is that we bench even for a kizayis, and Rav Yehuda says, no, you need to have a kibbutzah. So there in Brachos, Rav Meir seems to say that a kizayis is significant, and a kibbutzah is only significant according to Rabbi Yehuda. Here we have the exact opposite. That here we have Lemeimer, the Rabbi Meir Savar Kebeitza Hu Dechoshev. Rabbi Meir says only a Kebeitz is Choshev, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Savar Kizayis Nami Choshev. But that's the opposite, as we said, Urminu, in the Gemara in Brachos, it said Ad Kama Heim Zamnin. To what amount do you have to eat in order to be chayav be the rabbanon to bench? And there we had Ad Kizayis was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And Rav Yehuda said only Ad Kebeitza. So we seem to have flipped the Shitas around. So that's what Rav Yochanan says. And Rav Yochanan, Mukhlef is a Shita. Yeah, you have to flip them around. In fact, we say that the opinion of our Mishnah is correct, and the opinion of the Brice in Brachos has to be flipped around. And therefore, our Mishnah, which says that Rav Meir holds that a Kebeitza is Choshev, so he would also say in the Gemara in Brachos that only if you had a Kebeitza do you have to bench me the Rabbanon. And our Mishnah, which says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a kizayis is considered already even a choshev ashir, so he too would say in Gemara and Brachos that even if you ate only a kizayis, you have to go and bench. So Rabbi Yochanan has a simple teretz, mukhlefes ashita. But others disagree and say, no, you can leave it the way it is. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Lolum lo tepoch. Abaye says, you don't have to flip around the shitos. You could actually have Rabbi Meir saying something different here in Psachim than he said in Brachos. Why is that? Because it depends why they're arguing. Lola Motefik said, if I don't do Mukhlefes Hashitas, like Rav Yochanan said. Hasam, in the Gemara, in whether you bench or not, it's based upon Psukim, Bekroi Plige. And here, in our Mishnah, do you have to go back or not have to go back? It's based upon logic, Besvara Plige. What's going on? So, in the Gemara in Brachos, so there, it's based upon the Psukim. Hasam, Bekroi Plige. They're arguing about how do you interpret the Pasuk. V'yochalta, v'savata, uverachta. Rav Meir Savar, V'yochalta is a reference to when you eat, Zu Achila. V'sovata, he says, is a reference, homiletically, Zu Shesia, that is to drink. And the normal amount of Achila is, V'achila is a Kizayis. So therefore, Rav Meir in Brachos says that if you had a Kizayis, that fulfills this homiletic idea, Midr Rabbanan, that you have to go and bench. Therefore, he says it's a Kizayis. Rav Yehuda understands the pasuk, he dashes it differently. He says, "Ruyuda savar v'yachalta v'sovata." It means achil sheyesh bo sviya. It has to be the type of eating that, at a minimum level, makes you somewhat satiated. And how much is that? Ve'ezo zu kibetza. That is the amount of a kibetza. So therefore, Ruyuda says, in regards to benching, the shear is a kibetza. However, here in our Gemara in Psachim, do you have to go back or not? What's considered significant? Hacha b'svara pliga. Here it goes by logic. Here, Rav Meir says it's a kebeitza. Why? The Rav Meir savar chazaroso kitumaso. He says, just like tuma is the size of a kebeitza, so too, to go back, it has to be the size of a kebeitza. Ma tumaso b'chebeitza, av chazaroso b'chebeitza. Therefore, he says, Beitza is the paradigm, both for what is considered able to be either metamid or to transmit tumah, and therefore what's considered choshev to go back for. Av chazaraso b'chabeitza. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he says, no, chazaraso, return to the Yom Ha'alev ki isuro. He says that the amount that you return back for is the amount that it's aser. As the top rash here, Anun Amar Aleph tells us that the isur of chametz or basher kachim means shenifshal biyotze is also bachila is a kizayis, and therefore the iser is a kizayis. Ma isur bechizayis. So therefore, the amount that's considered significant enough to return for it is also af chazaraso bechizayis. So therefore, it's not necessarily inconsistent that in regards to benching, they should have one shear which is based upon the psukim. So therefore, they could disagree what's considered the shear a kizayis or kibetza, but that has nothing to do with what's considered a significant amount. By the benching, we go kitumaso, as opposed to by the returning, you go by the amount of kiisuro, how much is aser. Finally, we just conclude with one additional opinion. Tanya, we have one more opinion, not besides Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson Omer in the Braisa, Zev Zev Shnei Beitzim. He says the shear for both of them is Shnei Beitzim, that you have to have at least two Beitzim's worth of either the Chometz or of the Psulei HaKotchim, the Pasula Kotche Kolom meat. You have to have two Beitzim's worth to make it that you have to go back. Otherwise, Bit will be Amasagi, or you just burn it right where you are. That was Rabbi Nosson's opinion, a more lenient opinion, but the Chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Nosson. With this, we conclude today's shir.